In his series, Better Boards for Better Communities, Ken Haycock points out that not-for-profit boards of directors play a foundational role in the communities they serve. Boards, he says, help to define the strategic direction and purpose of the organizations they oversee. Good governance entails communicating the organization's mission, vision, values, and culture to its stakeholders so that those stakeholders can hold them accountable. In the case of non-for-profits, the board must balance the needs of everyone that works for and with them. It's not an easy task because it requires everyone involved to be conscious about making sound judgments and being on their best behavior. Recent governance standards require almost the same degree of accountability for nonprofits as they do for businesses. So it makes sense for not-for-profit boards to be diverse and to take their responsibilities just as seriously. It's vitally important for all nonprofit board directors to be fully committed and to be actively engaged in board discussions. It's an important process and one we rarely get to see at work. That's why when the Fraser Valley Real Estate Board asked me to consider a conversation that matters about some of the challenges it faces in changing its bylaws, I was interested so long as they were willing to spell out the challenges for all of us to see. They were willing to meet my condition of transparency and share their inner workings of the process of bringing their nonprofit bylaws into line with current protocols. In this episode of Conversations That Matter, the CEO and the board president joined me to dig into the process of changing a bylaw and why it matters to members and, most importantly, to the public at large.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
How adaptable does your board have to be? How adaptable do your own rules and regulations need to be able to meet with this the needs of this changing landscape?
Well, we know that good governance really helps with good decision making. So having the right people around the table to help improve the industry, and that's what we're all about. And we're actually challenged right now with some of our one of our governance models, and that's really a threshold around how we vote to have special resolutions change. And we see it as an imperative change to help modernize our organization because we want to see our members succeed. We want to see the wants, demands, and needs of our realtors really met. We've had challenges in the past with this. We've had some really, really good progressive things that we've tried to introduce that have failed at our annual general meetings, as an example, by very small margins.
Like what?
One example would be that it took us 3 years, or three attempts. And as you know, annual general meetings are annual. So it took us three attempts to align our appeals process and procedures with legal standards and natural justice.
Huh?
That's absolutely
3 years.
3 years, and that's absolutely shocking, because all we were trying to do was bring our bylaw, that particular bylaw, in line with natural justice and legal standards. Three attempts, and because the threshold is at 75%, it's actually written right in our bylaws at 75%.
That means that 75% of all members, or 75% percent of the members in attendance.
75% of the members in attendance.
Okay.
That cast a vote, and so what we're finding is good resolutions, like the one I just mentioned, were defeated at 67%, 70%, even as high as 73%, which is preventing the board from doing its job as evolving to be able to better serve the needs of the realtors and their clients.
Why do you have such a high threshold? Isn't that not in keeping with don't you have to change that threshold?
Well, that's something that we're working towards. We have an AGM on February the 19th, 2020, and our goal is to change the threshold to be in line with the Societies Act, which is 66 and two-thirds.
Right. So why are you not in line with the Societies?
Well, I think in the past, the number of 75% was the number that was included in the bylaws. And there has been some pushback because there is a small subset of our membership that feel that 75% is a higher threshold, and so therefore it's a higher standard for getting certain resolutions passed. However, when we look at when the Societies Act was changed in 2016, when the threshold was brought to 66 and two-thirds for not-for-profit organizations, that became the gold standard. And so, you know, when we talk about evolving as a board to be able to serve the realtors, part of that change is us evolving our voting practices mm-hmm. as well. And so that's one of the resolutions that will be going forward to the AGM on February the 19th.
So the fact that you can't move through these resolutions without having a 75% approval rate, how does that impinge upon your ability to do your job?
Well, I've been in the role for 15 months now, and I've come from other not-for-profit organizations where we've had the threshold at 66 and two-thirds. And so my observation has been that, you know, we're regressing as a board.
Regressing. You know, people don't want to hear that.
Well, I know. And so the challenge we have, as senior management has, and also the president and the board, is that how do we get good strategic decisions made when we have such a high threshold? And what that's doing is putting us at a competitive disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a competitive disadvantage, I mentioned earlier that approximately 50% of the boards in British Columbia are already at the society's threshold.
Right.
And whether we
other real estate boards.
Other real estate boards within British Columbia. And so whether we acknowledge it or not, it is a very competitive industry. It's a competitive board. Real estate professionals can move from one region to another region and join other boards
mm-hmm.
where they are seen, or that board is seen, to be more proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fear as a CEO is that we want to continue to be able to make strategic decisions that continue the innovation and the growth mm-hmm. of our board.
I got to get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. Sure. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
How does this impinge upon your ability as on the board to be able to help influence those changes?
Well, we want to focus on things like professionalism. That is something that is so important to us, near and dear to our hearts. And we're always working to do things better and be better and whatnot. And when we have a challenge like we do with the bylaw thresholds, we're focusing our attention on little kind of tee shot type things that should really, you know, hopefully be easy to get past so we can get the little stuff out of the way and really move on to the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a point that's like so important that we have such a large portion of our membership that aren't being heard, and they really want to be heard. That, mm-hmm. That's important to them. And we've had various surveys, especially the last two in particular over the last few years, that have come back, and they said they expect us to be progressive, they expect us to be modern, they expect us to move with best practice. And this has been one of the biggest challenges we've had is just getting over that.
So as a result, you can't be in
it doesn't necessarily reflect to the market, but it will help us better serve our realtors, and that's what we're all about. And better serve realtors are better served to the public.
Right.
When they're better educated, there's higher standards of professionalism, everybody wins, and we're that's what we're always working to do, is just advance and modernize what we do as an association.
Okay, how do you get beyond this then? Like,
well, I think Stu, the answer is really communication and more communication. We've introduced remote voting for the first time with our AGM coming up, and so we want to make sure that the turnout is the biggest turnout that we've ever had. And
but
so
you're still under the rule that says you have to have 75%.
It's the ironic part.
Yeah. Well, that's you're going to increase the participation, but you still need to get 75% of all of those who participate.
Absolutely, and that's the irony of it, that in order for us to get to the 66 and two-thirds or in alignment with society's act, we need to still get the 75% threshold.
Okay, so clearly you're frustrated enough that you want to come in here and talk about it. Like, this isn't a small matter, and it's something that is of great concern.
It really is, and I mentioned it earlier, it really dulls our competitive edge. And the challenge there is that strategic actions and decisions that could have been made a year ago, 2 years ago, had we gotten certain resolutions approved, we would be miles ahead today.
What would one of those actions be?
Well, one of those actions was we had a resolution that went forward in terms of our elections of our directors, where we have a brokerage threshold. In other words, certain number of directors can only come from a particular brokerage. And the idea there was to make sure that no one particular brokerage controlled the board. So we wanted
diversity. Which makes sense.
Yeah. But one of the things we wanted to do was eliminate the past president from the count. Because past president, to allow for more diversity at our board. And that too.
So past presidents moving on, let them go.
Let them go.
Yeah.
But because we're still working with the old framework, which counted the past president as part of the count for the brokerage, it prevented us from bringing really good folks that would have made a difference on our board. And a good example of that was just last year. We had some directors that wanted to run for the board, but they couldn't because they were limited by this resolution not going through.
They were limited to.
They had to actually drop out because they had reached, the board had reached a certain count for a particular brokerage.
So how does that affect the board's ability to make good decisions, which you have highlighted more than once that this is fundamentally important?
It tremendously affects us. We had not only did it affect the democratic process of, you know, people electing these particular people or, you know, wanting to install them as a part of our board's membership, or not our board's membership, rather a part of the board of directors. But, you know, so they're not having their voice heard, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Another example that we had was we wanted to limit the terms of certain people that were sitting on the board, and we want to limit that to six. And what that does is that ensures that we're having fresh people come in with fresh ideas and whatnot.
You know, when it comes to these kinds of boards and this type of governance, it's important that it is an accurate reflection of the community that you're representing. Are you saying right now that you're having trouble making the board reflect the communities that you're serving?
No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is our realtors expect us to be the best, and that's what we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a great history throughout Canada and British Columbia being a very progressive real estate board, but we're starting to be handcuffed by these bylaws and by this threshold specifically.
Well, this is a fundamentally important real estate jurisdiction that you're representing. The ongoing pressure to grow and expand in that region is not going to go away as more and more people move into the district. And you need to have those tools available to you to be able to respond to what the changing needs are going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, Dern touched on it earlier. One of the main roles of the realtor is to protect the public. So we want to be proactive to be able to get certain resolutions approved at the society's threshold so that we can be proactive, so that we can gain the trust of the public.
We'll be back in a moment.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
Why are you not self-regulated? Why are you not like other professions that have had that authority?
Well, we were self-regulated.
Yeah, I know, but why are you not now?
Well, I think there was a number of reasons why. The main reason around the loss of self-regulation was the industry, in the view of the government, didn't do enough
right.
to protect consumers. And so they felt that the way to do that was to strip self-regulation, put it under a regulator that would be overseeing some of the actions of the industry.
Well, how can you change if you don't have the authority to make changes to your own bylaws to represent the needs of the public?
Well, that's exactly it.
And so how can you get back to that place if you don't have that authority?
Well, that's right. And so the idea there is to look at the Societies Act, bring it back to 66 and two-thirds, put some resolutions forward that would benefit our membership and also benefit the public,
mm-hmm.
and then build that confidence and the trust, and then be in a position in a few years to then have the conversation of self-regulation.
Did you want to expand on that?
It excites me, honestly.
Really?
It
must be frustrating at the same time. Like you're having a discussion that, for all intents and purposes, I thought would have been in the past, that you would have moved forward to be more adaptive, and you're not. So being excited is one thing. You must also be feeling challenged.
It is challenging, and there's always so much to do as a professional organization, and this is probably one of the larger things that is going to impact us to be able to be effective. Getting self-regulation back is incredibly important to, I would say, every realtor on the street, and we want to make it one of our mandates to try and get that back, because we think it's very important, and realtors need to be heard at the government level as well, to make sure that whatever rules and regulations and how the industry functions, the government needs to be a partner with us
right.
in making sure that it's all done effectively and to best serve the public.
Right. And so the only way that you can do that, of course, is that you're adaptable. You can't be adaptable if it takes you 3 years to get a change, and even then you're uncertain.
So. It's hard to get things done when you got a ball and chain dragging you back, right? You need to move forward and modernize and just, you know, go along with best practice.
Okay, but let's also be careful that we're not painting an entirely negative picture about the way that things are at the Fitch Valley Real Estate Board. It's not all bad.
We're doing a few good things.
You want it to be better.
Well, and that's the key, and you're absolutely right. We don't want to paint a picture of all is doom and gloom. We have this one issue. This issue, I believe, will be addressed at our AGM. And once it's addressed, I think that we will begin to see the innovation that we are known for at the Fraser mm-hmm. Valley Board. Many other boards within British Columbia, as well as throughout the country, look to the Fraser Valley Board as being one of the most innovative boards.
So innovative thinking at the board.
Innovative thinking. And yeah. I think as a relatively new CEO with the Fraser Valley Board, I think we've lost a little bit of that. And I think part of that has to do with certain resolutions that would allow us to make strategic decisions and actions. And what we're asking for is really relatively a small adjustment.
Right.
And that small adjustment will allow us to be agile, allow us to be responsive to the market trends and member needs,
mm-hmm.
Without sacrificing and without compromising the judicious decision-making.
Right.
So that's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. And so the general public goes, okay, why do I care? What's the answer to that?
They deserve a professional. They deserve somebody that they can trust, that they can rely on, and they know that has been educated to the top tier, that has standards and codes and is ethical. And that's exactly what realtors are. And the better we can help our members succeed through training, education, support, communication, all those great things, they can better serve the public. And that's what it's all about, is us being better realtors to the public and helping the public.
Well, and then also giving your administrative team the tools that they need, or the ability to implement those tools to further that work.
Well, and then the change in the societies to 66 and two-thirds actually lines very well with our strategic plan. One of our pillars is to be more efficient and effective as an organization. And so when we look at our strategic plan, which has been developed with consultation with our membership as well as our board, that second pillar of efficiency and effectiveness can only happen if we look at changing the threshold so that we can be proactive and can be responsive to market trends and needs.
And then meet the needs of the market.
Absolutely.
You know, I keep coming back to, well, why do I care? Well, I care, as you point out, if I'm that I'm working with professionals who are adhering to or stepping up to a standard that I expect, especially in a market that's as dynamic as the southwest corner of British Columbia.
Correct. We talked about the irony of needing the 75% to get to this new threshold, and one of the things we are sounding out there is we want to make sure our members are involved and engaged, and we have our annual general meeting, as Baldev mentioned, on the 19th of February, and we want everybody to come out. In person is by far the best. We would love to see those faces at the AGM, but we've also made it available to vote securely and remotely from your home and be engaged, ask questions, live stream the event, and just another progressive thing we've introduced as a real estate association just this year.
Third and final break. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the support of viewers like you and the following organizations. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and become a donor.
Yeah, so you are being progressive in whatever way you can to ensure that you're more agile, nimble, and innovative.
Absolutely. And as part of that is open and transparent communication. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we've introduced, certainly under Darren's leadership this year, is this whole notion of having a sit-down with our membership. And mm-hmm. we've been engaging our membership during the course of the last year, leading up to our AGM, so that our members come to the meeting informed and educated of the issues, mm-hmm. so that they're not actually learning about those issues first time coming to the AGM.
Yeah.
They have been talking about the issues. They've been communicating with other realtors. They understand the importance of what we're trying to do, why it serves the interests of the realtors, of the public, of all of our stakeholders, mm-hmm. to be proactive and be agile and nimble, as you mentioned.
So lo and behold, what happens if you don't get that 75% threshold to reduce the threshold? What then? How do we move forward if we get caught up not being able to change our ability to govern in a way that allows for greater adaptability?
I feel very confident that we've done it right this year. We've been very transparent, and in the past, I think it's been an issue of, well, we didn't know about these issues ahead of time. You didn't communicate enough. You didn't share your perspectives. You didn't provide a balanced viewpoint.
Right.
And so we've been entertaining and discussing the pros and the cons or the negatives of changing this. And we've had breakfast meetings the last year where we specifically put this item on the agenda.
Yeah.
And we talk about these issues, and so that they're informed and they will then talk to their colleagues.
Right.
So the goal really is to get this done once and for all in February.
One objection to that would be, well, if we lower the threshold to make changes, are you going to be as rigorous in your ability to move a motion forward, having worked it through properly.
Nothing will change in terms of our rigorous process of review and approval of our bylaws. And so just to give you some context, we have a governance committee that looks at potential changes to bylaws on an annual basis. They engage outside advisors, legal experts, as well as governance experts, to make sure that we're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back and forth, and that's what they do and spend most of their year on the committee. Once they're satisfied that the resolutions or the bylaw changes that need to be made are in the best interest of our membership and the public, it goes to our board. Mm-hmm. Our board performs their own due diligence. And only when they are satisfied will they bring it to the membership. So to that point, reducing it from 75 to 66 and two-thirds does not change anything in terms of our internal processes of making sure that we vet all of the issues and make sure that the resolutions going forward to the membership have been well thought out, are well-balanced, and meet the needs of the market and our members.
Right. And you're going to move to a point where the threshold is more attainable, but it's also rigorous. Getting to 66 and two-thirds approval on anything isn't easy either.
Correct. Absolutely. And let me mention also that in addition to 66 and two-thirds, we have, as part of our bylaws, and this is kind of unique to the Fraser Valley Board, a 5% quorum requirement. So you can imagine we have close to 3,700 members in the Fraser Valley. 5% of that is a large number, close to 200.
Yes.
Folks have to be present.
To get them there.
To get them there. Yeah. So you, in order to be able to hold an AGM, you need approximately 200 people to attend. That's a very high threshold.
Yes.
And so when we talk about rigor, when we talk about moving them from 75% to 66 and two-thirds, we also have to talk about the quorum requirements, because there is a large quorum requirement. It's not like we're going to be passing special resolutions with 30 people in the room.
Right.
So there's a large number perspective within that AGM, so that you're always guaranteed that good resolutions will move forward.
Well, I wish you good luck with this, because I think it is important, one, to ensure that we have good governance, but two, that governance is given the opportunity to be able to be agile, flexible, nimble, innovative, and in doing so, better serve everyone who's involved in what is the most important investment for most people in their lives. Thanks for coming in and sharing.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.